Dylan & Company, your new favorite online bookstore where you can find a vast selection of books across all genres, invite you to visit their website at dylanandco.com. Discover countless titles and special offers that will captivate your reading interest. Remember, that's dylanandco.com, dylanandco.com, your go-to destination for all your literary needs. All right, hanging out with me on Paper Beats, we have Miss Jury Hines, author. So we're going to go ahead and get it started with her. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
Hey, I'm excellent. I appreciate you coming on to the show. So
thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. So what inspired you to start writing, and how did you develop your unique voice as an author?
Okay, so what inspired me? I've always been a writer. I'm 38, so probably since like middle school, elementary school actually, I've always been into reading and writing. And it's just kind of been my voice, because I was really, really shy. So whatever I couldn't express, I would write it down. Mm-hmm. But I was always reading. And especially when we were in school, you got the coupons for reading all the books, and you get the pizza hut coupon. So I read avidly. I was a big reader. So, and that just never left me. It probably slowed down for a little bit, but it never left me. And I don't try to follow a certain protocol whenever I write. I really just write.
Okay.
I have no structure. Okay. It's really just writing. I just take like life situations. I just tell people that my story, even what I haven't published so far, that they're about me in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's something that I experienced, something that I imagined, a conversation that I had with friends or whatever, it's coming from some place within me. So that's why I say all of my writings and my pieces are about me. In some way, shape, or form, they're stemming off of me some way.
Okay, because my next question was going to be, are there any specific events or people in your life that heavily influence your stories or characters? And so we know it's you as a main character. Any other events or people influence you?
I wouldn't even say I'm the main character. My friends are funny. They are funny. So it's a lot of our conversations, and I tell them like, oh, I gotta put that in the book. Like, and I will literally jot it down. Even if it's just something jokey that they say, I'm gonna jot it down. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta put that in my book. So like when I finished this book and I published it, I had a friend, she was like, I'm reading it to see which one is me. And I'm like, there's none. Like, I wouldn't even dare base a character off of one of them. I would just take certain attributes off of each one of us and kind of make it work that way. It just works.
Okay, got you. Now, did you have any challenges that you had to face while you were writing your book?
With this particular book, yes. There were lots of challenges because I wrote a lot of poetry, and that's kind of been like the main thing I would write. Like I said, I would write down how I felt and just words that I wanted to express, and I would just write those down, or thoughts or emotions. And then a lot of times I wrote poetry. So I was just kind of really getting into live performances with my poetry. So whenever we wrote the book, I'm thinking that I can write the book the way that I write the poem. And the poems kind of just would be something off the dome. I'm thinking I can write it, but life humbled me so quickly. Like, no, you can't do that. So just trying to actually find my flow to write it, that was probably the biggest struggle. With this being part of a writing collaborative, we had five other authors. We would get together and like on a group chat or anything like that, and we would have like writing sprints, and we would sit on the phone and just kind of bounce ideas off of one another. So that really, really helped me get it together. But just actually being able to sit still, sit down and write, that was just like my biggest problem, because the ADHD be ADHD in. And I don't probably ever sit still for that long. And so that was really like a challenge. That was my main challenge, actually getting the ideas, because it's a whole movie in my head, but actually getting that on paper and staying still long enough to write it on paper, that was hard.
Okay. So what does your typical writing process look like? Are you, like, I know you said you just write, but are you a planner at times or just more improvisational?
Oh, I've learned that I cannot go off of improv anymore. And writing this second book really showed me, like, you really got to figure this out. So more so I've done outlines and just trying to find, like, what time is the best time for me to write. Because I have three kids. One is 20, so he's kind of on his own, doing his own thing. But I have very active 16-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter who just choose to be in everybody's sports and do some of everything that they can possibly think of. So I have to take their schedules into consideration, along with church and things like that. So trying to find the right time that I can actually sit down and write. Like, do I work better in the morning versus the nighttime? Afternoons don't work. And I still work a full-time job. So just trying to find what actually works best for me. So I've learned that morning works best for me, but I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
I just, the word, so it's like, I am a walking contradiction. So mornings work best whenever, like, I actually tried, made myself get up super early, which we get up rather early anyway, but just to get up even earlier to sit down and write, I wrote a lot in that time, but just trying to make that consistent has been my struggle. We already get up at like 5:30 a.m.
Right.
So just trying to figure out what time I need to get up to get all of that together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of, I'm still working on it, but
okay,
that's just the main thing, doing outlines and finding the best scheduled time for me to write. But in the meantime, I'm still writing, still working. I take my iPad everywhere. I put notes in my phone everywhere. So if an idea hits me or if a line hits me, I'm going to jot it down wherever I am.
Okay. Now, if you ever had writer's block, how do you handle that? Mm-hmm.
I was told by the author Joan Vassar that she doesn't allow a such thing as writer's block. Like, so to her, there's no such thing as writer's block. Because even if I can't put the words to paper, there's still work that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really held on to that. So if for some reason I can't get my words together, I do talk to my friends or whatever, and I even pitch ideas like, hey, what do you want to read? I have my group on Facebook. I'll kind of like bounce ideas. I'll look for visuals. I'll create my city, like things like that. So I still find something to do. I'll read another book, not to plagiarize or to take their ideas, but to just kind of help form my own ideas off of something that I read. So I won't allow writer's block to just not write.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still gonna work. Even in that downtime, there's still work to do.
Gotcha. So what tools or resources do you rely on during your writing process?
The main one that I rely on is ChatGPT.
Okay.
I rely on that as my dictionary, my thesaurus, my visuals. And even if, you know, you have an idea, but it's not quite worded as best as you want it,
mm-hmm,
I'll put that and just let them kind of change my sentence. And then I'll take that sentence, because I never want to feel like I'm taking something that I didn't say. So I'll take their sentence and then reformat their sentence to still make it my own. I'll add words, take words out, just something. But it just kind of helps me, it helps clarify my ideas.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Now, I know you stated that you have a busy life. So how do you balance the writing with other responsibilities?
How do I balance it? As I said, I'm in the car right now because I'm trying to, I juggle. That's all I can do. I just juggle, and wherever I can fit something, I fit it. And whenever I need to do something, I just try to do it. So, But that's always been me. That's always been my life. I've always had active kids. Like, I've always been like that. So it's really not as hard as it would be to some people, because mm-hmm. like my friends, they'll tell you like, girl, you never sit still. And I don't. And I just kind of feel like, okay, this is something else that I have to do. And like I said, I take my iPad everywhere. I have my iPad right here, right now. So if I was to just stop and get me something to eat, then I'll sit here. That's how I'll take that time out. Because I do a lot of sitting in the car, just listening to music in the car, reading my books in the car, eating in my car. That's mostly so I don't have to share. But like that time that I do just sit there, like I'll have my iPad out. If I go to a basketball game, because right now both my kids go to play basketball, so it's 4 games a week. I take my iPad in the game, and so my daughter's playing middle school, so I'm focused on her game, but during the boys' game, I can kind of get on my iPad a little bit and write. And with my son, he plays varsity, so during the girls' game, I can be on my iPad writing a little bit and then focus on his game. So I just make it work.
Okay.
And then sometimes I just have to tell everybody, like, hey, I'm shutting down. I need to just write.
Right.
And everybody, husband, kids, they all respect it. So, okay. For the most part.
All right. So, which authors or books have inspired you the most throughout your writing career?
Inspired me the most would be, poetry-wise, late Nikki Giovanni. Mm. I always loved her.
Right.
Of course, Maya. That's always, that's a given. But as far as with my books, being younger, I used to take your mama's books, like the Zane books. So we would be in middle school, high school, reading those books. And I think that's kind of where I started mm-hmm. reading romance, because romance is like, that's my genre. That's what I read, that's what I write. And it kind of started there. But as I kind of honed in on it, as an adult, I would read more of, I started reading like Chanel Parker, Natavia, Alexandria House, Joan Vassar, Monica Walters, all of them, and now Mel Dow and Dandridge Monroe. And actually getting to know these people and to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Robbie Renee, because I did the collaborative with her. But to go from just reading their books and then actually meeting them and actually being able to talk to them and to get insight from them and encouragement from them, that's like just been everything.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Do you draw inspiration from other forms of media such as music, art, film?
Definitely music. Okay. Music is my, well, I have a few loves, and music is definitely one of them. I'm a 90s R&B girl.
Okay.
So, like, even with my book, I have a playlist, and I just draw a lot of R&B. I'll listen to a song, and if it hits me, I'm adding it. Like, I keep a rolling playlist going. So, if I just hear a song that I've never heard before, I'm adding it to a playlist, or even something that I hear, and I'm like, okay, that can go with this scene or whatever like that. I just add it to the playlist. And with my first book, whenever I would get into a song where I can't really get the words, I would always play that playlist whenever I was writing, and it just kind of helped me get my words together. So it's like a 4-hour playlist, but it just helped me to get into my flow. Like, I always have to have music playing in whatever I'm doing. Like, I also do makeup, so even when I'm doing makeup, I have music playing.
All right.
So that's just kind of, it just kind of helps me.
So what's your top 5 R&B?
Artists or songs?
Let's go artist.
Okay, my number one artist for R&B is Fantasia Bruno.
Okay.
Or Taylor Now. Anybody who knows me knows I love Fantasia. I tell everybody that's my cousin. And I'm holding on to that. I actually met her brother, and I'm like, hey, you're my cousin too.
Wow.
So, and I have, I've seen her in concert a couple times, and at some point, because my goal for 2024 was to meet her, I met her brother, so I'm getting closer.
Okay.
So we're just gonna shift it over to 2025. So, but she is definitely my number one. Let's see who else. Because we can really just stop it there. But let's see.
Who do you like? What's on your playlist right now? That's in your top five.
I have what Black, Six Black, him definitely, Mars.
Okay.
I love her. Anthony Hamilton definitely.
Okay.
And I actually did get to meet him in the airport, so I definitely love Anthony Hamilton. So him and Fantasia, I would say him and Fantasia are the top two.
Okay.
And then Black and Mars and Chris Brown.
Steve
so if
Breezy.
I had to do five.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If I had to do five, those would be my five.
All right. Awesome. So what advice would you give to aspiring writers that are just starting out?
Just do it. Don't talk yourself out of it. Absolutely do it. Never feel like it's too late, because that would kind of get to me sometimes. It's like, you could have been did this, but when it's your time, you know it's your time.
Exactly.
And when you feel that it is your time, do not let anything or anybody hinder you, get in your way. Just literally just do it. Surround yourself by people who are going to push you and encourage you, or even fuss at you when you don't do it.
Mm.
So yeah, that will be the main thing. Engage. Like, the engagement has been the biggest part for me. Attending these different events, I would definitely encourage anybody to attend these book events, because they got me so hyped. Like, just being able to be in that room, it's just, there's been a transference of energy in every event that I've gone to this year.
Right.
And it's just kind of motivated me and encouraged me to go even further, because at some point I will be in those spaces. Like, I know I'm going to be in those spaces. Right now I'm just, when I go, because just even going from, okay, I'm just a book reader, to now I'm an author that's here as a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to the point where somebody walked up to me and they were like, "You're Jerry Hines?" And I'm like, "Somebody knows me."
Right.
So there's literally levels to this, and enjoy every level.
Okay. So how do you handle the feedback, you know, whether it's from editors, readers, or even critics?
I love the feedback, because despite what they say, nobody's harder on me than me.
Okay.
And with some of the feedback, it's a lot of questions, not necessarily negative. I haven't gotten too much negativity, but there have been more questions. So it was kind of things that I had to elaborate on, that I realized, okay, maybe I could have elaborated on it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some things that was asked that I do, and I'm like, no, it's not supposed to be that way. Like, I've had people tell me what I needed to do with my book, and that's when this old little country girl, nah, that ain't what's supposed to be. So this, it is what it is. It is what it's supposed to be. So I just kind of, I take it all in stride. Every bit of encouragement, if you just tell me, oh, I liked it, like, I'm just like, I want to know, what did you like? Mm. What was your favorite part?
Right.
So I'll know with my next one, like, where I may need to step it up a little bit, or you know, just kind of, it's just going to help me with my next project. That's it.
Okay.
So I love it. Good or bad, I love them.
Okay. Okay. So speaking of next projects, do you have any upcoming projects or ideas that you're really excited about?
Yes, so the first book is Sparks in the Moment. And it had a 4th of July theme, which is with the collaborative, the Seduction in Red, White, and Blue collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm basing my next book off of two of my one of the sub-characters in that book. So the next book is entitled Moment of Truth. And this one was actually, my goal was for it to be done actually in October. That was the goal that I gave myself, to have that one completed. But I had a few losses in September and October. So just with, you know, kind of grieving and going through things like that, it kind of held me back. So I had a little bit of a setback. Not stopping, it's kind of just changed the trajectory of it, but it hasn't stopped it. So it's still going to be entitled Moment of Truth. And then I do have one other character from that book. She's going to have her own book as well.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So how has your perspective as an individual shaped the stories that you tell?
My perspective is, so I live by this, which a lot of people have probably heard it or said it. Like, my L's are not losses. My L's are lessons. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much in these past few years just from what I considered a loss. A loss that I dealt with personally, but I gained so much knowledge through therapy or just through the experience itself. I've learned so many lessons. So that is one thing in my books. I do strive to have a lesson in every one of them, like a life lesson. So it's no matter what you're going through, and everything is not going to always be just so sad, and it's not going to be just the typical heartbreak. Well, this one is, but all of them are not going to be just a typical heartbreak type situation. It's just we kind of all go through different things in life, but still kind of experience the same. It's just same lesson, different game being played.
Right.
So I just kind of take that, because I talk to people all the time that are going through something and experiencing something, and it's like, I didn't experience that exactly, but the lesson that I learned could still probably help you. And that's just kind of the way that I shape my books. That's the way that I intend to shape all of my books. There's going to be a lesson in every one of them.
Okay. So is there a particular scene or moment in your writings that are especially meaningful to you, and why?
It's in this particular book, in Sparks in the Moment, there is a scene. Well, it starts out at a birthday party for her, for the main character, Kalyani. It's her grandmother's birthday party. And that is held close to me because of the relationship that I had with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole family dynamic. Like, when my family and I, you know, I'm from the South, so. Like, when our families get together, it's 5 billion of us sometimes. You got second cousins, third cousins, cousins that you didn't know were your cousins. And then you got that one cousin that's related to everybody that's there on every side. So, you know, it's big on family, and I'm big on family. So that was very near and dear to me. My grandmother passed away in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I did honor her in my book. The grandmother's name, we call her Mom May, and my grandmother's name was Eva May. So I definitely pay homage to her within that book. And just the closeness between her and her grandmother, that is an actual depiction of the closeness that I have with my grandmother.
Gotcha. So what do you hope to accomplish or change through your writing?
What I hope to accomplish is to encourage so many other people to write. Encourage people to read, because it's a lost art a little bit. We don't have as many people reading as they used to. And since I've written my book, I've had quite a few friends or quite a few associates who said, like, oh, I don't read like that, but I'll read it because it's yours. And that means a lot to me, just because a lot of people aren't going to do it regardless.
Right.
Like, they don't care who wrote it. So for them to come to me and say, well, I'm reading it because it's your book. Of course, some of them are just trying to see who I'm talking about or to see what I'm writing about.
Okay.
And that's fine, because it's making you read. And I think a lot of times we lose imagination, especially with social media and TikTok, and everything's a trend and everything's a dance and a routine and things like that. So I feel like with these books, with Book Talk, with Bookstagram, it's making people tap back into their creativity, whether they're writing or reading it. It's making us tap into our imagination, because we have to envision it. And like someone can read it to me and the scene that I envision can be completely different from yours, or the lesson that I take from it can be completely different from the lesson that you took from it. So it's bringing back the individuality, and that's really what I want to do. I want to help others write. I've actually done a little bit of writer's coaching. So since I've written this one, I was asked to help participate, and I really want to encourage our youth more. My daughter is not a reader.
Okay.
She does not like to read at all. But my son, that he's just kind of been over my shoulder, kind of pushing me a little bit. He's really jokey, but he's been kind of pushing me throughout the whole process. So I'm like, if I get my daughter to read a book, and that'll be my goal. Like, she gets her grades, she does all that. She's more of a dancer than a reader. So
okay.
It's kind of just to get people to fall in love with the things that I fell in love with, and to do the things that their hearts desire to do, even if it's just to try it for one time. If you don't like it, okay, but at least you can say you did it.
Okay. So give me a brief synopsis of your book and give me the name of it.
Okay, so it is Seduction in Sparks in the Moment, Seduction in Red, White, and Blue, and is 1/6 of the collaborative. So whenever you go into Amazon, like how you sell, it's all linked together so that you can see all the books. None of our books are the same. It just has the same 4th of July theme. And me giving a synopsis of the book, I think that was harder than actually writing the book.
Okay.
That's how people all the time, like, I'll just end up telling you what the whole book is. But basically, we do have Kalyani. She is our main female character, and she's basically scarred from heartbreak, and actually her insecurities from her heartbreak, she's revisiting insecurities and depression that she had at once overcome, so she's falling back into that. And like I said, everything's taking place at a grandmother's birthday party. So on the morning of her grandmother's birthday party, you know, because of the love for her grandmother, she's trying to get herself together, get out of that headspace so she can do what she has to do for her grandma's day. And she goes to the grocery store and runs into Asen, who's just a handsome man that helped her in the grocery store. But she's so full of her depression that she's not even noticing who he is at this moment. But he notices that something's wrong with her. So he's just like, okay, that's a red flag. She's nice. He helps her. And then they just kind of go about their separate ways. And they end up running back into each other through a series of events. And he realizes, like, this is who I want in my life. Like, this is who I'm supposed to be with. So he's sure of what he wants. Meanwhile, she's too focused on what she's already experienced. She's focused on the heartbreak that she's already encountered, and she's scared. And she's basically learning to allow someone to love her again.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's learning to be patient and waiting on her.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Now, where can the people find you as far as purchasing your book, social media?
And so my Instagram, as far as purchasing the book, it is available on Amazon. You can also go through my website, jurihines.com, and to get paperback copies that are signed. I also just throw little goodies in there. So if you want it more personalized, then I would suggest going through my direct website, jurihines.com. It is also available in ebook format, which is on Amazon. But through my website, it'll also have a link that'll take you to Amazon as well. My Instagram is also under Jury Hines. My TikTok is Jury Hines Writes. On Facebook, I am author Jury Hines, and I also have a group called Out of Jurisdiction, which is OUTOFJURI apostrophe Z D D-I-C-T-I-O-N, so out of jurisdiction. And we kind of just encourage each other and talk a little bit and cut jokes and play around in there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on to the show and giving me some insight about who you are, and definitely that synopsis. And yeah, it was great. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. And also, like I said, with my with me having a heart for poetry, I do have some of my poems incorporated in the book as well. So
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.